This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's Technology Products World. We're about to speak to Mike Morgenstern, Retail Marketing Manager at SanDisk. Welcome to Utopia Media's Technology Products World.
Thank you very much, Mark. Morgenstern.
We're mainly going to talk about SanDisk's new U3 Smart Flash drive, but could you give us first just a little bit of background about SanDisk, how old it is, what its main products are up till now?
Certainly, yes. SanDisk has been around for approximately 17 years. We really got our start in business in flash drive memory. Quickly transitioned to memory that served the digital camera. And when the digital camera really started being proliferated across the world and became much more mainstream in the early 2000s, that's when SanDisk really started hitting its stride. And from that point, we really expanded the scope of our memory to be one of the most complete flash memory offerings in the world. We cover SD, CF, memory stick, all the major formats, as well as we've recently, within the last couple years, entered into the USB flash drive market as well as the MP3 market.
Okay. Tell beginners and remind people who already know, what exactly is flash memory and how does it work?
Flash memory is a non-volatile memory that essentially, once it's charged and the memory is stored, or the content is stored on the device, it no longer needs power to maintain its storage potential. So once you store it on the card, it could be stored on that card virtually forever, provided you don't destroy the card itself.
How does it exist as a descendant of EEPROMs?
Pardon?
Programmable random access memory. How does it relate to the kind of semiconductors that can contain firmware?
Well, SanDisk memory consists of essentially two things: a NAND memory chip, which is something similar to what you would put in your into a hosted computer, your RAM memory, as well as a proprietary control that is able to write in sequence to that specific location where the memory is stored, or that the content is stored on the NAND memory.
And what allows it to contain so much memory in such a small space?
It's really the technology behind both the controller and the NAND. We own patents pretty much protect us across most of the industry with regards to both our technology and our controller technology, as well as our the NAND technology. The latest introduction that we've had in the last 2 years is our MLC, which is multi-layer cells, which is allows us to double the memory traditionally stored on memory that they used to call binary.
Is that essentially a logical function, or is it a physical function of the processor?
The MLC?
The ability to store twice as much information. Is that a logic breakthrough or a manufacturing breakthrough?
It's a manufacturing breakthrough.
Okay.
Technically, it's partly both. It's integrated with the technology that we bake into the memory, as well as some of the technology that we put into the controller, which actually accesses the multi-layers of these cells. So it's both physical and technology.
Okay. Tell us about the U3 Smart Flash drives and what function it can perform.
So U3 Flash drive is chartered to redefine the usage model of a USB flash drive. U3 is a new standardized platform that allows developers from all around the world to create specific programs that run off of a standardized API. It simplifies the interface for the end user, and it creates a much bigger market for the content or the application producers. Similar to the way Palm created their Palm environment, this is something that we're trying to achieve with the U3 technology. If you take a look at any one of the U3 products that are out there, the one common thing that you'll see there is a very easy interface to get to the applications. used a USB flash drive, for a lot of people, it becomes quite cumbersome to actually find an application or any part of your content. So what we've done is we've simplified that interface by creating a very common and simplified what we call a launch pad, which gives you access to all the content on the drive as well as the applications that you've put on there.
So the flash drive is partitioned then between the applications and the data storage?
That's correct.
Okay. What's the source of this software? Was that developed by SanDisk, or did you get it from somebody else?
Okay, so the software, I'm going to ask you a question here. When you're talking about, are you talking about the U3 technology or the programs that you put on the drive?
Both, but particularly the U3 technology to start with.
The U3 technology is something that was co-developed by both SanDisk and a company called M Systems, which are, you know, they're a competitor, but in this case, they're also a partner of ours.
Right.
They together, SanDisk and M Systems, have created this interface and the standardized API or way to write the software language, and we've created common protocols that all these, both SanDisk and the M Systems partners, OEM partners, use these standardized protocols to communicate from our controller to the memory to the interface module, which is what I'm calling the launch pad. As far as the applications themselves, these are developed by, you know, major tier one software developers as well as smaller, you know, we tend to call them garage developers from all around the world. You know, the idea here is really to allow the end user maximum flexibility to customize the USB flash drive to their liking. If they're a traveler, they may have certain things on there. If they're businessmen, they're going to run their Outlook and their contacts and you know, some of their Internet Explorer applications.
So the point is that you've created essentially an operating system or a platform for people to develop more software for.
That is correct. So it's both a platform for developers to develop new software, specific niche software that will cater to certain people. So the idea is for the consumer, maximum flexibility. It's everything that you need, all the programs you need on the go. For the retailers or for the manufacturers themselves, it simplifies the product, so you're creating one common language for the controller, memory, and the interface to work together. And together, when you merge those two things, you get a very, very flexible system. I wouldn't necessarily call it an operating system, but it's essentially a PC on the go.
Right, so the dynamic is that by creating this, you're going to encourage more developers to develop the software, and that'll create more functionality and more people will buy the product.
Right, and the nice thing about this thing is we've designed it in such a way with the background, you know, the background technology within the U3 such that, you know, you can use this product, the USB flash drive, on any public computer. Your entire session is completely cleaned out as soon as you remove the USB flash drive from the PC. So imagine you're a business traveler or just any type of traveler traveling through Europe. You don't want to carry your laptop around. It's quite cumbersome. You plug the device in. It pops up your internet. It pops up your Outlook. You have all your contacts. You do what you need to do. You remove the USB flash drive and the system. All the activities that you had done on this public host have been completely cleaned out. All the host knows is that a USB flash drive was plugged into it.
And the name, the term of art for all this is portable workspace?
Portable workspace.
So, in fact, instead of having to lug your laptop around and have it inspected and x-rayed in airports and whatnot, all of your essential data can be carried essentially on your keychain.
Correct.
And all you have to do is find a CPU, keyboard, and monitor somewhere, anywhere.
Yep.
And you can do your work and store it on your flash drive.
Right. Both your content and the applications to manage them.
Okay. What applications have been developed already? Which come with the product as it ships? And what are some of the major products that you're expecting to be available soon for the software?
SanDisk specific. I'm only going to talk about SanDisk bundle.
Right.
But SanDisk with the launch of the SanDisk cruisers, this will be on the Cruiser Micro 512 and 1 gigabyte. We will have four applications. Technically, it's five. One's a tutorial.
Right.
One of them is what we call Cruiser Sync, which is a synchronization. It's a quasi work environment. It synchronizes your Outlook, all your any document you want. It synchronizes your internet favorites. So essentially, in one tool, you have a complete synchronization tool. It's a backup as well as an encryption engine that basically encrypts all of that information and password protects it.
So say you're working on a contract and you want to carry it around. So you develop it in a Word file on your laptop or desktop in your office, and then you go and visit the other company, and you've brought it along with you, and you put it into a laptop in the conference room there, and then you work on editing it and changing things and so on. And what happens when you you store it on the flash drive? Then what happens when you get back to your office? How does that fix itself up?
When you plug the device back in, it's going to ask you, do you want to synchronize with this host?
Right.
And if the answer is yes, you'll synchronize with that host.
So it essentially finds documents that had previously been there but have been modified, and it modifies the existing document.
Right.
Does it save a backup of the earlier version?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yep. So, you know, we're constantly working on features of this specific application. You know, my vision for this application is to be truly your portable workspace, including your desk, you know, everything. The interface would be similar to your current desktop. So you plug this thing in, it's everything familiar. All your content, all your applications, whatever's on your desktop, this application would simulate that.
Screensavers,
wallpaper.
So it's just like being at home. Or you're in the office.
That's the vision. We're not quite there with this application, but that's where we're going with this.
Okay, what remains to be added to do that?
You know, things like the wallpaper and actually creating the interface that looks exactly like the new desktop.
Okay.
I mean, we're close, but, you know, we're not quite there.
Okay.
So the product that's actually out there looks more like Explorer.
Right.
We're trying to take it and morph it into something that looks more like a standardized desktop.
Okay. Now, talk about encryption and the role it plays in this whole process and how it's implemented on the U3 Smart Flash Drive.
Okay. The encryption engine is actually run through the Cruiser Sync. We also have an encryption engine on the device itself, which is controlled through certain proprietary API command or certain SCSI commands.
Right.
But the encryption that I was talking about specifically with Cruiser Sync is right now it's 128 AES, and I think we have the option to go to 256. But what it does is everything that you synchronize is automatically encrypted and protected by a password. So all your contacts, all the information like that document you just spoke of,
right?
The entire background behind that framework is all encrypted, and of course you need to run the password in order to open up that encryption.
Okay, now how does the system protect itself against malware, viruses, and spyware, and so on that it may encounter on some of the hosts it's plugged into?
Okay, so the second application that we include in our bundle is a malware protection, an antivirus. Essentially, upon insertion, it scans the device, the USB flash drive, as well as the host. So automatically scans it. It comes with, obviously all the latest viruses, and then you can run a subscription. It's, you know, based on the subscription, it can constantly update based on the latest bugs that have been recently introduced. The other feature we have embedded in this malware protection is you can actually teach it to trust certain hosts. So say you have your work PC and you have your home PC.
Right.
You don't want it to constantly scan your home and work PC because you feel that those are pretty safe.
Right.
But
you'd want it to, if you walked into a coffee right. house or something.
Exactly. So in that case, you plug it in. It automatically scans. If it finds a virus, it basically leaves. It leaves the device read-only. You can't write down to it.
It leaves the flash drive. It says there's a virus on this computer, and it won't let you write anything to the flash drive from that. When I scan my hard drive for viruses, it can take 2 hours.
This is pretty fast.
Is it fast? It's pretty fast?
Yes, it's pretty fast. I don't know, my laptop's got, what, a 40 gig drive in it. It doesn't take more than, on the first insertion, I think it takes maybe 2-3 minutes.
So it would be a good way to speed that process up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, this, you know, with the U3 client or the U3 launchpad, there's lots of ways to manipulate it. You can have this thing run automatically. You can disable that function. We default it as running automatically because, from my opinion, this is one of the most important features of a product like this. You're plugging it into, I mean, if you really use, you know, take advantage of the design behind the usage model, you're going to be plugging this thing into many public computers.
And right.
Don't know what's on that public PC.
Right.
So, you know, you may start your session, the computer gets violated somehow, the malware engine is always running. As soon as it sees a virus it recognizes,
right,
it sends you a message and shuts down the drive.
Okay.
It turns it into a read-only.
All right. Now, what about using this flash drive as a way of carrying passwords and digital identification?
Okay. The next application that we are bundling on there is a password manager. It's called our Sign-On Shield. It essentially works, you set up a base password, and then you can go and teach it. It'll learn all your new passwords, and then it'll automatically populate whenever it recognizes somewhere that you need a password, say your Yahoo account or your bank account. Once you teach it, you know, this is my login, this is my password, here is the URL, it will automatically populate those fields. So once you teach this thing what are all your important passwords, this sign-on shield will automatically populate those fields, so you no longer need to remember the 50 or so passwords and logins and URLs that you need. You just navigate to the site, and you're automatically signed in.
So if you want to go to your bank, essentially, you go there, so you teach the drive that what your username and your password is for the bank, and then as soon as you navigate to that URL, it'll get you in.
It'll automatically populate. No more passwords. I mean, of course, you need to sign in. Once you load up the sign-up shield,
right,
you need to punch in your master password.
Right, to access the flash drive, but then...
Exactly.
Okay, what sizes of storage do these come in, and how much do they cost?
We're offering two capacities right now, 512 and 1 gig, in the Cruiser Micro format, which is our smaller one that fits on a keychain. It's about, I don't know, about maybe it's 1¾ inches long.
Right.
It's roughly the size of a key.
Right.
It's exactly the size of a key. The cost of these are exactly the same cost as our current current micro and at the same capacities. For instance, you can get a 1 gig for close to $50-$60 right now.
Okay.
Retail.
And how are you going to be marketing it? What kind of channels?
We market in all of our standard retail channels. So you'll find them in you know, the Best Buys and the circuits, as well as online. You'll find them worldwide. Right now we're going to launch this in America, and in the beginning of the year we'll do the rest of the world.
What's the timetable for the rollout?
Right now is the timetable for the U.S. We're currently shipping.
Right. And is there a URL if people want to order them from you directly online?
Probably the best way right now, I mean, you can always go to Sandisk, www.sandisk.com.
Right.
And you can also, you know, hit a lot of your major retailers, the Best Buys, the Circuits.
Fry's.
For this product. Certainly within the next 2 months, you're going to start seeing it pretty much everywhere you start seeing Sandisk.
Okay. Talk a little bit about who can use it and what kind of purposes it can be used for, what its functionality is, and how you expect it to be put to work.
Okay. I just wanted to talk about one last application, the fourth,
sure,
fourth of our applications.
Please.
The last one is a product called Skype. Perhaps you've heard of it. It kind of just made headline news when eBay bought them for an exorbitant amount of money.
Right.
Skype is a voice over IP, even though they don't like to be termed that, but that's essentially what they are. They're a PC-to-PC communication channel. Works, obviously, voice, but voice data texting, IMing, and you actually can send files over it. What we've done here is SanDisk is the only company that is allowed to bundle the application. And what this allows you to do is you plug this device into any PC, plug a headset into a little earbud and microphone. You can make free phone calls anywhere in the world, PC to PC.
Do you have to pay Skype?
Does SanDisk?
Does the user?
Free. Free phone calls anywhere, PC to PC.
Where do they make their money, Skype?
So how Skype makes money, in addition to getting the software free bundled,
right.
SanDisk also offers a voucher card or a voucher ID number that allow them 30 free Skype out minutes. And this is how their business model works.
Right.
So a Skype out is when you're calling from Skype or a PC, you can call any landline anywhere in the world.
Right.
Landline, phone line, mobile phone, anything. And you're charged 2 cents a minute in most regions for that phone call. And so that's their revenue stream.
So does a person buying the U3 flash drive that gets the capability of connecting to Skype then get billed by Skype for 2 cents a minute?
Yes. You would essentially buy Skype minutes. You'd launch Skype and they'd say, would you like to purchase Skype minutes?
Right.
And that's how you would, so you could either buy a monthly, you can, buy it by the minute.
Then it asks for your credit card information or whatever.
That's correct.
And
right.
It goes to Skype.
And, SanDisk is offering with our bundle, 30 free Skype minutes.
Oh, okay.
So the first 30 minutes that you use this Skype out feature, where you're calling a regular line or a mobile phone.
Right.
We pay for it,
and that's how much it costs to call essentially the old legacy phone network. If you're calling PC to PC, it costs nothing.
That's correct.
Into the
anywhere
indefinite
in the
future, any computer.
Any computer.
Yeah.
You plug it into any computer.
Right.
You call any other computer.
Right.
That obviously has Skype. Right.
Right.
And it's free.
Oh, okay. Are they going to add video at any time, do you think?
Yes, they are.
All right.
I'm not allowed to talk about it, but.
Okay. Talk about the functionality of this for people. Is it going to make sense to own more than one U3 flash drive per person to put on your keychain?
Yeah, I mean, the model is such that, you can customize this device to be just about anything you want it to be.
Right.
Say, for instance, I have a couple of them, obviously.
Right.
But I use one for my personal stuff, photos. There's lots of software out there that allow you to manipulate photos and add music to it and create little, photo niblets that you can send over to your friends or family. I do that with my kids and send it over to my parents and show them, hey, this is what happened this weekend.
Right.
On one of these U3 drives, I use this more as a photo and video and music editor. So I have lots of my, MP3s, I got photos on there, and I kind of manipulate it in that way. Then I also have one that I use for work. So if I don't want to lug my laptop around, I'm going on a short trip.
Right.
I bring my flash drive. It's synchronized with all my contact, my work stuff, my Outlook stuff.
One of the most important things you'd want, of course, is your database, your address book.
That's correct. So anywhere I go, I just plug it in. I get the number I need to call, make the phone call, send an email. The nice thing about this CruiserSync application is it creates its own soft client. But you can send and receive emails from this anywhere, from any PC.
Right.
So plug it in. I'm in Boston. Plug it in. I send an email, receive emails, check my stocks, and need to make a call to, the mother-in-law that I don't remember her phone number.
Right.
So I just quickly go look at her contact, make the phone call. Once I unplug the device, all of that information it cleans up everything that was done on that PC.
Right now, I'm trying to understand how this is going to sort of roll out into to the larger ecosystem of computing. You're not going to want to say, "Can I borrow your laptop for a second?" to strangers. Is this going to encourage, for example, coffee houses that now have free or charged for wireless access? Is it likely that they are going to add a laptop to have there so that people with U3 flash drives can take advantage of it and not have to carry laptops around?
I think it's very likely. I mean, you know, when
or kiosks in the public space, essentially.
Absolutely. I'm already starting to see some kiosk type of computer systems. In fact, I was just in Berlin just a few, maybe it was a month ago, and they on the public street, a kiosk with, you know, obviously paid for internet access.
Right.
You can do everything, and it had a USB port in the front.
So you essentially want to say U3 spoken here signs,
yes,
in stores, so that people can come in, so that people could shopkeepers can bring business in by having a laptop there with a USB port ready to go, with
exactly
a big U3 sign on the window, so you'll stop in, and so you won't have to carry around your laptop anymore.
Essentially, yeah, it makes being mobile much less cumbersome.
Okay, talk about the purpose and status of the SanDisk campaign to create more brand awareness for SanDisk, essentially on the model of Intel Inside.
Okay, I mean, really, you know, we're really here to promote U3. You know, we really want it to be the kind of U3 Inside.
Right.
You know, SanDisk is a partner in this enterprise, but really it's the U3 technology that enables this new ecosystem of developers to get a closer tie to end users.
Right.
Give the ability for end users to maximize the potential of the flash drive and really customize it to who they are. We're in a build it yourself type of world.
Right.
Where everybody's different. Everybody has different needs and likes.
What the tough is called mass customization.
Yeah. There you go. So you know the U3 is what's going to, or what we're planning for U3 is for it to enable that mentality and make it so that you can walk around with just your keychain and have access to pretty much everything you need. The long-term vision is this thing becomes a desktop that is familiar to you. It's the same thing that you have at home, or the same thing that you have at work.
Right, and it could be that people even won't need to own a laptop. Then we're talking essentially about them synchronizing what they do on the road with what they do back at home or the office. But if generally available, if publicly available laptops became the norm, then it might be possible for a person not even to bother to own their own laptop and just use their U3 flash drive in various publicly available computing devices. Is that a possibility?
It's a possibility. You know, I don't think this device will replace the laptop. There are certain things that are just too big to put on there.
Okay.
You know, video is very memory consuming.
Right.
You know, especially with, you know, when you're video streaming and things like that, where you're trying to move a lot of data.
Right.
You know, there's certain applications where obviously it's more comfortable to do it in your own workplace.
Right. Okay.
But you know, it is feasible to. I think the U3 enabled device is going to be a complementary device to a laptop.
Okay.
I can't quite see that we're ready to replace them.
Okay.
And I don't think I would like to make that statement.
Okay. What about, you just mentioned about the vast amounts of memory that video takes up. What about the use of these flash drives to distribute digital content, audio or video?
That is something that SanDisk is working on. You may have recently seen announcements in regards to a micro SD card,
right?
Where we've bundled or we've loaded on the latest Rolling Stones album,
right?
And these things are primarily targeted for mobile phones. You could essentially listen to the new Rolling Stones album on your cell phone. It's protected through our own proprietary trusted flash, which is another DRM protection.
Right. Say a little bit more about that trusted flash, and
yeah.
Is this related to something called Groovy?
This is Groovy. We call it Groovy.
Groovy. Okay.
Yes. So this is what we just announced, I think, a week and a half ago. This is really, you know, where we're trying to take this. We've also recently, within the last 3 or 4 months announced a product and released it into Staples called the Cruiser Freedom, which is something similar. What this product is it's primarily targeted at the educational market, and what you're able to do is download digital, protected digital content, primarily, books and things that schools are going to drive down to students. So feasibly, what we could have is an entire school district. The school loads up content on the device. The device is programmed so that the teachers know which students got certain device. They can drive the content directly down to the student. Now you got your syllabus, you got all your homework assignments, everything's being transferred via a secure client. And say you needed to do a book report, you can download a book. You can purchase a book, or you can, a lot of the books that we have out there are free. So, really what we're trying to do is we're trying to merge the technology of flash-based storage with the content-rich environment that we're living in right now.
Okay,
and
now
really be able to manipulate it in a very seamless way.
What kind of machines exist for the mass loading of flash drives and the U3? For example, if you're in class K through 12, college, mm-hmm. postgraduate, and the teacher wants to give you a syllabus or today's assignment or some special stuff that he or she has produced, would it be possible for the students to plug all their U3s into some device, and then the teacher downloads it and they take it home with them and do their homework on it and bring it back and so on?
This is yet another technology that we're working to merge the assets, all the attributes of, but this is what we call Flash CP, and this is the technology behind our Cruiser Freedom, and that's exactly what it does. So say, for instance, I'm a teacher at school ABC,
right?
And I want to load, all the Gutenberg collection because this is what I want my kids to do book reports on.
Right.
And, by the way, here is a digital version of this, of their history book.
Right.
The idea is...
Meaning you can update the history book every day instead of every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, you can update it with comments, you can update it with your notes. Yeah, and the nice thing is the teachers can put that up on a secure site, which we manage. The device, you plug it in, it navigates automatically to that secure site. So there's no URL. It's completely secure. So what we've done is we've created a completely closed environment in which the teacher controls the content that's going to the students.
Right. Now similar to that, I've been actually talking about this with some people at conferences where people go and maybe they're sitting there tapping away at their laptop and not even paying attention to the speakers. It seemed to me that either afterwards or immediately afterwards or a few days later, it would be possible for people organizing conferences to essentially edit the highlights of the conference, and then people either drop off their U3 flash drives and they get loaded up with the summary or video highlights of the conference.
Absolutely, and the nice thing is with this technology, you don't have to navigate, you don't have to go to a site, they drive it directly down to the device.
Okay.
There's a lot of possibilities for this. We've started off with the education area because we feel that's a fairly unserved market right now with our Flash CP.
Right.
So we're working that and trying to create some traction vertically within the education market and really gain acceptance there. And then, the sky's the limits from that point on. Okay. It goes beyond books.
Right.
It goes into video. You can multimedia. Move any type of digital content.
Now, in order to load these up, though, you have to plug them into USB port. What about wireless connectivity for these devices?
Wireless connectivity.
Essentially, building them as Wi-Fi, putting Wi-Fi receptors in them.
What I can tell you at this point is. Yes.
So you're at the rock concert, essentially, and the first, say they're going to let everybody download their first song, mm-hmm. and everyone, instead of holding up a cigarette lighter, holds up their U3, and they download it wirelessly, simultaneously, into 500,000 people's flash drives, and they can take that home and listen to it.
Yep. I can't really talk much about that, but that is something that is definitely being looked at right now.
Okay. The form factor of these U3 flash drives is in some ways similar to the WANs that are used by Mobile SpeedPass and other contactless smart card payment technologies. Is there a technical capability or a marketing plan to integrate these flash drives with that kind of functionality of contactless smart cards, either for payment or identification?
It is something that we're discussing. The form factor may change a little bit, obviously, because,
right.
For something like that, it becomes, these things almost are too big.
Right.
I mean, that may be something you want to stick in your wallet, kind of like a credit card.
Right.
But it is something that is on the roadmap. I don't think we're going to see that this year, but definitely in the years to come, you're going to see a lot of convergence of a lot of these devices. Really what we're doing is, we've entered such a digital age.
Right.
And we're just so content rich, it's very difficult for us to manage it.
What?
When I say us, I mean the consumers.
Right.
There's just so much out there. How do you, once you get it, how do you know where it is? How do you deal with it, right? How do you manipulate the data? And so that's really, what we're focusing on in the next year or so. The connectivity, the way we manage the content, the way we distribute the content so that everybody's protected, and there's the economies behind this content, like record companies.
Right.
They want to make sure that when they enter a new protection scheme, that their rights are being protected. Same thing with the publishing house. Printed publishings, novels, textbooks have been pretty much they haven't changed in many, many years. And now that we're entering the digital age, printed books are actually moving into more digital, forums. So really, they're very cautious and slow moving with regards to this because they don't want to see their livelihood being chipped away by having everything converted to digital. So, there's a lot of concern over this digital right. That's really, really what this next year is going to be focused around.
Right.
It's going to be, the convergence of all this, of all these technologies, and how do we simplify this mess that we're in right now.
Because what I just saw in talking about, listening to what you were saying, and based on some of my questions, I pictured that you go up to the boxes that now hold newspapers, right? And you said there already are public kiosks. For example, in Berlin. So if you have the device which can work as a payment device as well as a storage device, you can essentially plug it in, pay 25 cents, and get to the day's or the hour's newspaper.
Absolutely.
Which doesn't necessarily have to be news. It'll still be news. It won't be paper, but it'll be a multimedia package that'll have some text and some audio and some video, and you're essentially then, you update your news and you pay for it,
mm-hmm.
and the digital rights management handles that, and then as soon as you're near a screen, you plug it in, or if you, for example, if you've got some portable viewing device, whether it's along the lines of an iPod or a PlayStation Portable,
mm-hmm.
you then plug the U3 drive into that device and read, listen, and watch the news.
Absolutely. That is definitely where we're going.
Okay.
With this.
And while what we've got here is pretty amazing, it's really just the thin edge of the wedge in terms of establishing the usage patterns for people and the digital rights management protocols for the content providers and market for your product.
Absolutely. You're definitely on the right path.
All right, good. Yeah. All right, any final things you want to say?
I definitely appreciate your time, and it was an absolute pleasure talking to you, Mark.
Okay, good, and hopefully we'll be able to distribute this content on your platform.
Absolutely.
Thanks again for talking to us about the U3 flash drive.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.